We were talking a lot about the inflation report, both the good news and the bad. Still too early to you know, draw any big conclusions about whether we turn the corner on inflation based on 1 month. But the producer's price index, with wholesale prices that business pays for its inputs, came out today, and they actually month to month saw a decline in prices. So that's, again, some good news. But the headline of the Detroit Free Press today is that grocery prices in terms of real wages and things like that are at heights unseen since 1979. And, you know, whether you're talking about eggs, milk, cereal, things like that, a lot of the staples, boy, it still takes a bite out of your wallet. And if you had excluded energy, that the core inflation rate still would have been over 5%. So it just shows you that there's a lot more than just going on with gas prices. When you talk about transportation, two stories. We told you yesterday that the price of a new car has never been higher, that the median price had hit a record. But the cost of driving, just the operating costs of a new vehicle, according to AAA, and they released this morning, for the first time ever, the average yearly cost to own and operate a new vehicle in 2022 was over $10,000, $894 per month. That's an 11% increase from 2021. And yes, gasoline had a lot to do with it, but it's more than just that. And we've seen the fuel costs come down, but we know that it's the insurance and it's the you know, it's the brakes. All of the things that go into ownership have increased when you see the amounts go up that high. Now, it may fall back below, but still, that's kind of an eye popper. And the average yearly cost of a new vehicle in Michigan is the cost to own and operate is 12% higher than the national average. It's higher here. We have watched what's been happening with the Huron River. There have been a number of tests taken. Fortunately, of the tests taken, only three have turned up with signs of toxins after this Tribar manufacturing release. But now we're learning from Eagle just exactly what was happening behind the scenes and how the policies and protocols that could have prevented this went unheeded. WJR senior news analyst Lloyd Jackson joining us live with that story. Lloyd, you can almost hear the alarms when you read this story.
Yeah, absolutely. Those cleanup efforts are continuing, Guy, today as we learn more information about that chemical spill of hexavalent chromium into the Huron River by the manufacturing company Tribar. Now, a former employee is suspected of overriding the safety alarms some 460 times, or about once every 20 seconds, within a three-hour span, and further investigation found that the employee was not supposed to even be in the building. Management didn't know the employee was in the building and was not alerted that the safety feature was being tampered with. Tribar says there's no way for off-site management to know the alarms were being overridden, but the company is in the process of updating its controls to notify management quickly and put in place other controls to prevent any attempt to override the alarm that could lead to a repeat of something like this reoccurring in the future. Now, Tribar says that employee responsible was questioned and has since resigned. The Michigan Environment, Great Lakes and Energy, or EGLE, has issued several violations to Tribar, including discharge of a pollutant and failure to immediately notify the department of the spill. The state is also going after the company to pay for the cleaning up the spill. Tribar also received violation notices unrelated to the spill from EGLE's air quality division. After an inspection back in July, the state found that Tribar was not keeping adequate records and not properly operating equipment, which controls nickel and chromium emissions. Tribar has until August 20th to respond to the violations concerning the spill, and they have until the 30th of the month to respond to the air quality violations. Guy?
So there was some accountability there with the employee being held responsible. But I guess my question is, in situations like that where alarms are going off, how is it that it's only one person that's in charge of alerting those that need to know about this? How is all of that responsibility concentrated in just one person?
And, you know, too, with technology the way it is, you know, even if someone is not there and they're off site, you know, technology should be, you know, able to notify you if something's going wrong, especially if alarms are going off and there's a spill happening, you know, that should be there. And I think they will probably now upgrade that to make that happen. But, you don't think, a lot of times you don't think about it until it happens. But, you know, when you're dealing with this type of, you know, situation, when you're dealing with these pollutants and those things, all of those, things need to be put in perspective, and you need to be ready for them just in case they happen.
Right. And you know, we may learn more about this as we go down the road, but how sad that there was no whistleblower there that saw this happening, that heard the alarms, that knew about it, that didn't drop a dime to environmental officials saying, hey, this is going on, and you need to be alerted to it. One other thing I wanted to get your reaction to, and that is apparently the federal authorities that wanted a piece of that crowdsource funding for Kwame Kilpatrick and his new wife, Letitia. Apparently their hands are tied, that there's no way they can get at those donations.
Well, this is the thing. They had they were allowed to get those that money from the crowdfunding, you know, website, but the website says, well, the money's not there anymore. We don't have it. You know, it's gone and it's been closed down. We don't have it anymore. So, specifically, they were able to go and get it from the website, but the website says we don't have it anymore. So now, you know, the feds have other tools they can go after to get that money. And believe me, they will not stop going after the money that the former mayor owes, which is about $193,000 at this point.
Now, apparently there were 11 cash or check pledges that were given in person or by mail, but most of these, this was a situation where they were pledging it online.
Yes.
It wasn't like a PayPal kind of thing where you would plug in a credit card and be debit.
That's right. That's right. Absolutely. So that's that, but there will be other ways. You know, the former mayor, he preaches, he goes to churches, he sells his book. You know, every time he's, you know, in a church, either here or across the country. And so there are other ways that they can go after that, and you can believe that they will.
Yeah. And apparently there was no record, or it's unclear at this point just how much money was donated to that fund.
Nope.
And if any of it was real cash or only pledges for future payment, or whether it was actually there and withdrawn. So we'll wait.
About $115 online. Donations.
Okay.
11 cash or check pledges for undisclosed amounts.
I got to go. Thanks so much. We'll see you tomorrow from Frankenmuth.